Testivity Audio Course, Series 65, Module 6, Investment Company Securities.
An investment company is a corporation or trust that pools investors' money to invest for their benefit. These pooled funds are jointly owned by every investor in the investment company and conceptually will be invested more efficiently than would be possible if each investor invested on their own. Benefits of the investment company concept include professional management and the ability to diversify a relatively small investment. Before a corporation or trust can register with the SEC as an investment company and issue securities to the public, it must have a clearly defined investment objective, at least 100 investors, and at least $100,000 in net assets. The Investment Company Act of 1940 specifically identifies three types of investment companies: face amount certificate companies, unit investment trusts, and management companies. Management companies can be subcategorized into open and closed-end mutual funds. A face amount certificate is a contract between the investor and the investment company. They are sold at a discount and guaranteed to mature at face value at a predetermined future date. A face amount certificate can be purchased in a lump sum or with periodic payments. Due to tax law change, there are very few face amount certificate companies in existence today. A UIT is structured as a holding company to purchase bonds or shares of other investment companies to be held in trust. The UIT then issues shares of redeemable securities known as units. A UIT holding a portfolio of bonds is a fixed UIT and will be liquidated as the bonds mature. A non-fixed or perpetual UIT typically holds shares of other investment companies and has no predetermined liquidation date. Under the Act of 1940, trustees of the UIT must maintain secondary markets to guarantee liquidity to unit holders. Much like a corporation, a closed-end management company will raise money for a portfolio, closed-end fund, by conducting an IPO. A fixed number of shares will be authorized, registered, and sold to the investing public. The fund will then be closed to new investors, and the existing shares will trade in the secondary market. A Series 6 registered representative can only sell a closed-end fund in the primary market transaction. Once the fund is trading in the secondary market, a Series 7 license is required. The price per share of a closed-end fund can be affected by market sentiment, or supply and demand. The fund could trade at a premium or a discount to the actual value of the securities in the portfolio. Closed-end funds may also issue senior securities, like preferred stock or bonds. The open-end management company is the most prominent type of investment company in today's market. Unlike a closed-end investment company, an open-end fund will not specify the number of shares authorized for issuance, but registers an open offering with the SEC. This type of offering allows the fund to raise an unlimited amount of investment capital by continuously issuing new shares. Shares of an open-end mutual fund do not trade in a secondary market, but are redeemed with the investment company, which guarantees marketability of the shares. Each share of an open-end mutual fund represents an undivided interest in the portfolio. When shares are redeemed, the investor is entitled to their proportionate share of the portfolio's net asset value, or NAV, which must be distributed by the investment company within 7 days. In addition to guaranteed marketability, professional management, and instant diversification, the advantages of investing in open-end mutual funds include: securities and assets in the fund must be held by an independent custodian, typically a commercial bank, which provides an element of security to the investor. Mutual funds typically have low minimum investment requirements and can be purchased in full or fractional shares, allowing the investor to invest any dollar amount. For example, an investor with $250 to invest could purchase 14.376 shares of a mutual fund trading at $17.39 per share. If the following month the mutual fund was trading at $18.10 per share, the investor could purchase 13.812 shares with a $250 investment. As you can see, the ability to purchase fractional shares allows an investor to invest a specific dollar amount rather than buy a specific number of shares. This is a key detail to the concept of dollar cost averaging. Dollar cost averaging is an investment strategy involving a systematic investment of the same dollar amount periodically. Assuming the price of the security fluctuates, the only mathematical possibility with dollar cost averaging is that the investor's average cost per share will be lower than the average price per share over the same period of time. It is noteworthy that dollar cost averaging does not guarantee a profit or against loss, yet it is considered to be a defensive strategy. Mutual funds offer DRIP programs, dividend reinvestment programs, which allow investors to reinvest dividend and capital gain distributions without a sales charge. An investor can liquidate a portion of his or her mutual fund holdings without disturbing the diversification of the investment. Most management companies allow an investor to exchange assets between mutual funds in the investment company's network of funds, or fund family, without incurring additional sales charges. For tax purposes, an exchange is a sale and a purchase, which may result in the realize of a capital gain or loss. The management company will send a mutual fund investor a 1099 each year, which will simplify the accounting of tax liability for the investor. And mutual funds may have reinstatement of investment provisions, allowing an investor to withdraw funds and reinvest them within a specified time frame with no additional sales charge. Another convenience commonly offered by mutual funds is a withdrawal plan. An investor entering into a withdrawal plan will receive periodic payments by systematically liquidating a portion of their holdings. To determine what will be liquidated, a withdrawal plan may be structured as a fixed dollar, fixed time, or fixed percentage plan. Regardless of how the plan is structured, the SEC requires withdrawal plan sales literature to plainly state that payments are not guaranteed and it is possible to exhaust the funds in the account.